truth.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweep. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, we're back here. This is the second hour, and going to go into an overview of what's going on with Dave Gladden's case, A Rush to Judgment. And this is about a liar, and I mean a real professional liar, 81-year-old liar called Bingman. James Bingman out of Dillingham, Alaska. And Kevin Thompson, another liar out of Missouri now. The issue is, Dave Gladden, three times with Mr. Bingman's assistance, took his airplane, Bingman's airplane, into a Seventh-day Adventist hangar that no longer exists now. David was booted out if they sold it or something. But anyway, and he redid his airplane, did all sorts of things, put rivets in it, worked with Bingman in there. I put a new Bingman supplied parts, which he says, I didn't supply any parts. I didn't help anything. And he has accused Dave three times of stealing his aircraft, of which he helped him roll it in and out. But he never called the cops. And he helped him buck rivets. That's a two-man job. And putting the airplane in is and out of the hangar is a two-man job. And after a fact, he accuses him three times of stealing his airplane. Why didn't he call the cops then? He accused Dave Gladden of stealing and flying the airplane to Walla Walla, Alaska. He called the sheriff down there, turned in a complaint. They didn't find the airplane. What the hell's going on here? No evidence at all. Finally, the sheriff said, well, it's an issue for Dillingham. There's no evidence. Calvin Thomas says, we're going to get that find out because they're doing a rush to judgment, which I'll get into in a minute, but it's going to be a trial Tuesday, telephonically with Dave and Gavin Thomas. He's out of Missouri, I think. I don't know where the hell he is now. He said, I went through a gate. Oh, by the way, it has a warning. It's a federal offense to go through this. You need a code to get in. Well, he didn't know the code. He didn't know how he got through. He then went to a locked hangar that is rented by Biden. He doesn't know how he got in, but he got in the hangar and he saw the airplane. Well, the obvious question is, why didn't you call airport security or the cops if it's stolen? Duh. Bingman, he says, oh, I went through this same gate. I don't know if he went with or not. We're going to find out Tuesday. See, the thing about lies is they never match up. He found Gadden. He looked through the door and saw the airplane. Now, Thomas went inside, Gavin Thompson, but Bingman didn't. Do you see a problem here? Well, if it's stolen, the proof would have been in the airplane. They could have just called the airport security or the cops, and it would have been over with, right, if it was there. They called the cops. They couldn't find any evidence of anything. Oh, but it happened because they said so. This sounds like one of them Blasey Ford things. I said so. It must have happened. Then, in a deposition, Bingman accuses Gladden of stealing the logbooks. How do you steal the logbooks from somebody? His grandson finally testified after he was trying to hide what the old man is doing. I voluntarily handed them over to Dave Gladden. I didn't steal them. How can he go and steal them? Logbooks are something that goes with the airplane of which you put in all of the stuff that's going on. Dave did an extension to the baggage department that has been done many times to the airplane. He was going to work with another Seventh-day Adventist. These are all Seventh-day Adventist guys that has an inspection certificate. Now he don't want to do it. So that left Dave stuck. But this baggage thing has been done on many airplanes many, many times. So the FAA calls one time and misses Dave, and then they say, well, we need more information, so they refuse. So Dave is getting now a better drawing. I guess that's what they want. And then he's going to have to find somebody else to sign off on the AI, the inspection, or to get an AI license himself. All a bunch of lies. Over a $9,000 bill Bingman could pay. What prompted all this? Well, Bingman got his properties all foreclosed over there, and he had somebody that was doing all this commercial stuff. He's going to do all this commercial notice and demand and all that, and that stuff just goes nowhere. So he was concerned about them stealing his airplane and the starter. The thing wouldn't start. But he didn't authorize any of the work, even though he helped him three times roll it in and out, even though he helped him work on the airplane, even though he supplied the parts. He's another bona fide piece of garbage liar. And the judge over there, which is not a judge, Christina Ray, R-E-I-G-H, Bingman files in stuff with the email, the certificate of service. Oh, well, that's all right. He files in a counterclaim with no essential elements. Oh, well, we know what he means. Just give him the pass on everything. She's in bed because they hate Dave Gladden so bad. Because he exposed the corruption of the Alaska court system for what it is. He had property foreclosed. He lost a $1 million piece of property. It was all smoke and mirrors nonsense. Nobody has any authority to anything. And Jerry Ball, he got around and bought an airplane that had a different name on it. And he's a multimillionaire, but he had to have Dave Gladden's airplane. Is he the greedy liar? There, Ball's day's coming real soon. Hello, Dillingham, if you're listening. Because Dave had filed in a private land claim tied into the BLM, to the Homestead Act, showing he had a fee simple, or a fee absolute title, which is the same as a Lodeo title. He did it four times in the paper, published it, put it into the public record. It sticks. Mr. Ball tries to get a title insurance. They won't insurance because they know there's a cloud on the title. Well, that's coming, Mr. Ball. Just hang on. It's been 7 years, and I've been so busy I haven't got 2 days, but it's coming real soon. And he's had great amount of money on his stuff over there, making money on his fisheries. He's got a couple of places that does the canneries and all kinds of stuff. He is a greedy piece of garbage. Another Seventh-day Adventist liar. A great Pharisee he would have made. But anyways, Dave is in Walla Walla. Can't afford to come fly all the way to Dillingham because he's already spent, I don't know, $1,500 on depositions for a $9,000 bill. We finally got the telephoning, but the judge said, oh, no, I'm going to put it off. Wait, he hadn't even got the subpoenas to subpoena the people that he wanted to subpoena. And also, he didn't have the exhibits, so we're going to have a trial with no exhibits. Except the one we're going to put in, which is a public record, because Dave went through all the trouble to get a mechanics lien, and he got the FAA so that they, Mr. Bingman can't sell the damn airplane. Got the lien recognized by the FAA. Sent over, and she said, we're going ahead. I don't care what's going on. We're going to have a trial Tuesday. Well, these people are going to testify. So obviously we're going to ask for the exclusion rule because we got them lined up to tell their, so they can't hear the other lies and try to line them up. And then we're going to hang Mr. Bingman and Mr. Thompson on their depositions because they said, but they're not into evidence. The judge has certified copies of them from the thing, but they don't. How do you have a trial with no exhibits? The only exhibit we can put in is the public record of the notice of federal attack, the federal, mechanics lien done by the FAA. That's it. We don't need exhibits. She's pissed because, well, it should be in a small claims. I read the statute. It has to be in superior court. And we put in the essential elements. Well, you guys just overdid that. She said that twice. Well, the essential. How can you have a complaint if you don't put in the essential elements of what you're complaining about? This judge is just so far out there that I'm going to get her before it's over. I put in a FOIA on all the different stuff to the state of Alaska to see what they do. And I told them, I said, you guys are just full of excrement. I haven't got one piece of paper back since May. What are some of the things we put in? Alaska Statute 22.10.010. There shall be one superior court for the state. The court shall consist of four districts. And they put them in quotation marks. First district, second district, third district, and fourth district. Passed in 1959, chapter 50. The state bar bylaws, article 1, says what? Organization and under section 6, administrative districts. For the purpose of the administration of the act, these bylaws and the rules and policies, regulations promulgated under them for administrative districts, based in part upon the existing judicial districts in 1973, are created as follows. They're creating judicial districts. And we go down to number 3, the third judicial district of Alaska. They created a judicial district. The bar, they admit it. But nobody cares. Also put in this, 52 United States Code, 30101, number 12, state. The state of Alaska uses exclusively and irrevocably is bound by the same of the National Voter Registration Act. Now that's all the statutes where they say they're doing it. I also list the definition of a federal office, which we're going to get to in a little bit here. I also listed that the judge is deemed to know the law. That's G-R-O-H versus R-A-M-I-Z, R-A-M-I-R-E-Z. That's 540 U.S. 551, 2004. Judges, like juries, are presumed to know the law. And a reasonable, competent public official should know the law governing his conduct. I also told her that in this research document, Stump versus Sparkman, S-T-U-M-P versus Sparkman, S-P-A-R-K-M-A-N, 433 U.S. 349. That's 435 U.S. 349, page 349, 1978. A judge will not be deprived of immunity because the action he took was an error, was done maliciously or in excess of his authority, but rather he will be subject to liability only when he has acted in clear absence of all jurisdiction. And that's based on Bradley, B-R-A-D-L-E-Y, versus Fisher. 13 Wall, W-A-L-L dot 335. Pardon? Oh, okay. Richard in Alabama. Question or comment?
Yeah. You were wondering about the renaming of all the courts, except that Court of Claims. The value of a negotiable instrument in international commerce is proportional to the probability that the chattels and lands of the obligor may be conveniently arrested and liquidated and settlement accomplished speedily and without impediments from local courts of the obligor's nation. Maximum probability and convenience happens when the obligor debtor may be arrested in rem as if he were a human resource or voluntary servant of the holder. And that requires a total elimination of national venues and a substitution of vice admiralty contract venues.
Well, they're doing in rem stuff. That's what they're doing. They're doing property.
Yeah.
I don't disagree at all. Is this a case you're citing from or what?
No, I just wrote it up. It's just an simplified explanation.
Okay.
Of why they had to get rid of all of our national courts and simulate them in their contract called the Rules of Court.
Well, guess what? In 1934... Let me look it up. I'll give the statute just a minute. Let me pull this up. I'll give you the statute.
I'm
not going to believe this stuff. Go ahead. Well, I'm looking it up. Go ahead.
Well, that's about all I had to say.
Okay, hold on just a minute, and I'll give you something here. 1934. Civil Rules, 1934. 48 Stat, 1064. 48 stat.
Mm-hmm.
There shall be in effect 6 months after the promulgation of the rules. Thereafter, all laws in conflict therewith shall be of no further force and effect. That's the civil rules. Okay. This was 1934. Now that's for the civil. Now in 1940, let me pull that up here. 1940. Criminal rules, that is in 54 stat 688. 54 stat 688. Same thing. Thereafter, all laws in conflict therewith shall be of no further force and effect of law. So they get around and they put in rules of court. And after 6 months, they trump all statutes. That's why you see all this 12B6. You haven't abided by the rules of court. Because these courts, the United States District Court, unequivocally is proven. I have the books and the public record. It is based on the district or judicial power of a district court. Judicial power of a district court. What does that mean? Can be exercised by a single judge, huh?
By debt collection.
Hold on a minute. We've got to go to break. Go get your comment when we come back. Thank you.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, caller, are you still there?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay, what does judicial, this is in 28 USC, they pray a brand new court called the United States District Court. They did away, the District Court of the United States is still there because it has to. They never repealed it. They created a new court called the United States District Court, codified in 28 USC 132. And it says it's exercising the judicial power of a district court by a single judge. What does that mean? You know? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'll tell you. But do you have any idea?
They just make it up, I guess.
No. Oh, no. Absolutely not.
The power comes from their rules of court.
Nope. What that is, that is a definition of an inquisitor. The district court, by a single person, that's a definition of an inquisitor. And what they're doing is the old star chamber, the modern version of the old star chamber, the trilemma. We will get you. We're going to do the appearance of law. But the actual, it says in the footnotes, or in the revisor's notes, that part of power comes from the territory of Hawaii, out of Article 4. And it says it is done by what authority? Quote, accepted practice, end quote. Accepted practice. Now that is where I want to be in our constitutional republic. They had gotten away with it for so long. It's accepted practice, and it came from the territory of Hawaii. That's what it says. So, revisers' notes stand. They tell us what they're doing, and what is a star chamber. This is the way they do it. This took me a while to figure all this out, but I can back this stuff up. It's called the cruel trilemma. We will get you to admit to the answer that we want. This is what they do in books and records. They did this to John Thornton. We don't give a rat's rump about the truth. We're going to ask questions, and we want certain answers. And we want them under the penalties of perjury, so they do it off-premise. They say that the books and records is a star chamber, or is an inquisition. We ask questions. That's it. So the three parts to a star chamber are, we get around and we will ask you, we want you to incriminate yourself with the answers that we want. Number two, under the penalties of perjury. And number three, if you don't give us the answers, we will find you in contempt of court and lock you up, which they did to John Thornton. Threatened, if you don't tell us what we want, we're going to lock you up till we get the answers we want. Or they'll put you in jail and they find you guilty. Now, how do they also get this? Every books and records will have a declaration. Every books and records will have a public record in it. The declaration is put in by an IRS agent that has no authority in a court that doesn't exist. And if you do not immediately, ASAP, the very first thing you have to put in, I am going against the declaration and the public record. Everything that is put in thereafter is accepted as true, and it rises to clear and convincing evidence. They admitted it in John Thornton's case. This is the way they do people that are doing reduced judgments on foreclosures. They will also depose you to get you to answer their questions. They never testify. Now, in John's, they got him cornered at the end because they lost this at the 8th. They come back and get a second go at him, and they got him on the stand, and they did a star chamber. You're either going to answer the damn questions, or the judge says, I'm throwing your ass in jail till you answer the questions. That's star chamber. You will give me the answers I want. That's forced testimony. Totally unconstitutional. This is the way they do it. Books and records and foreclosures without any sworn. And in Thornton's case, there was no sworn testimony until they come back at him the second time because they didn't win the first time. This is how they get foreclosures, reduced to judgment, and there's no adversarial sworn testimony in open court. They depose the people off premise to get them to admit to the questions they ask, and the people don't know any better. And then they rise to what's called clear and convincing evidence in a constitutional court. That actually happened in John Thornton's case. And they did that with no sworn testimony in the court. How do you get clear and convincing evidence? That's the highest level in the civil. Reasonable doubt is in criminal. A higher standard. They use preponderance of evidence in these child slavers. I said, he said type stuff. Mm-hmm. That's why, and they have contracts. I got a copy of the contracts of the law that says the judge is being audited for the amount of money he makes. You think he might not be an independent judge? And these people go in there and they have no freaking clue what they're up against. I got the regulations, and I got a copy of the state plans for Alaska and for North Carolina, and I got a copy of the cooperative agreements in Article 6. He's audited for the amount of money. Is that the kind of guy you want adjudicating the future of your children? Really?
No,
and they have,
of course not.
They have bounties on adoptions when you get over a certain, there are limits they set. You get, it used to be $4,000 for the healthy ones and $2,000 for the crippled ones, the sick ones. That was back in the 80s. Now I think it's $25,000 in Alaska, non-confirmed. For the healthy ones. I don't know what it is for the sick ones, the ones that might have some medical problems or whatever. Back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, well, we're back. Richard, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, what they're doing in these courts, they use what's called a balance of probabilities. You ever heard of that?
Oh, sounds... I think they would admit that.
You think? And this is found... I found this. I was dealing with a friend of mine in administrative nonsense in Canada. And it's in 2A, 3D, 324. 2A is an apple, 3D, 324, and it's THERIAULT versus Burnham, BURNHAM. This is the game they're playing. If I call it a game. This is the con. It says a disputable presumption. Wait a minute, what happened to evidence? The probable, oh, we're just having a presumption. I presume something. Persist until contrary evidence, and their definition of evidence is not based on the rules of evidence, persuades the fact finder that the balance of probabilities is in equilibrium, or stated otherwise, until the evidence satisfies the jury or fact finder that it is probable that the presumed fact does not exist as that it does exist. There's your balance of probability. There's your nonsense of the presumed fact. What happened to the rules of evidence and firsthand knowledge and all that stuff? Oh, we don't do that no more. It's called the balance of probabilities.
Hmm.
Are you shocked? I am. It just, this stuff shocks me. Now we go to this stupid thing about this election that's coming up. We're going to have an election, and I think, see, what date's that going to be here? When is November? What day is that? I was looking at some stuff here. Let me get my calendar up to date here. It's going to be, this is October, November the 6th. I think there's going to be a red wave. I think Americans are waking up. I think the black population has finally got their head out of their butt. I think there's a whole bunch of whites out there that got their head out of their butt now. They're finally still doing something. Hopefully a bunch of the Latinos or Mexicans or whatever the hell you call them. I don't know what to call anybody anymore without pissing somebody off. I know I'm a kraut, sort of. I guarantee you one thing. I got Cherokee blood in me. Guaranteed. I can prove it, but anyways, I got William Warren Warren because I back by my great grandmother was a full. I think it was a great, but she was a full-blooded Cherokee. I've seen pictures of her. Mm-hmm. Anyways, this election that's coming up, it is a killer. Absolutely, you can't make this stuff up. This is why we can prove all these things now. If you don't have evidence,
you can make up the results.
Okay, but the thing is, what we have to do is look at facts. And the thing is, you see, they ought to call me Father Ralph. I'll take your confession, but you know what? I'm not bound by the confessional because I'm going to spread it to the whole world. I got loose lips. I can't keep any secrets, especially government secrets, as far as people and not disclosed. But anyway, getting back to the issue, this is in 107, stat 77. 1993. It's called the National Voter Registration Act of 1993. The right of all citizens to vote is a fundamental right. Well, I've got this. Absolutely, there is no such freaking damn thing as an elective franchise or the right of suffrage.
Well, how did they take away my right?
So, but we signed up for it. And they use the definitions. The term state means a state of the United States. The subject is state. Of the is a relationship. United States is the object. And if you really want a good definition, because I am not the greatest English guy that there ever was, is go to it talks about objects and predicates and all this stuff in great detail, and it is 26 Cal, C-A-L, 161. 26 Cal, 161. And it's got a whole bunch of freaking damn names. But if you want it, send me an email at irs@alaskaminuteman.com. I'll send it to you. Anything, if anybody's listening today, you don't have to be a member. I'll send you this stuff. I'm going to post this stuff later on today, what I'm talking about. But it defines a state. So the state is like it's subservient to the United States and the District of Columbia. You cannot have an election for the same positions of the District of Columbia in one of the several states. But you see, both of them, the District of Columbia and a state of the United States, are both subservient to Congress. The one that we have today called United States of America, by the way, and I have 110 cases. If you haven't seen it, the United States of America is a sovereign body politic. The 10th Amendment is irrelevant. Do you believe that? That's what they're printing out today. Now, the case that I have here, let me find this again. This is an absolute must-read. I found this on the National Voter Registration Act when I finally got back to it. And I was doing the research to do all this. But see, I love when these guys do the research for me. And then I take the constitutional side, and I can see right through what they're doing. And it's 185 A period R period R period. It's the American Law Reports of 155. What do they say in this? I go down here. Let me get down into this thing. It's a real long, very high documented, but there's two things they leave out. Cruikshank versus and the slaughterhouse cases, which says nothing changed with the 14th Amendment. They leave that part out, but that's fine. See, I wanted their relationship. They got here. By the terms, the National Voter Registration Act, 42 U.S.C., Section 1973, GG, etc., which has now been changed, applies to elections only, and they give footnotes, for federal office. The courts have held that the National Voter Registration Act has no application to state elections. So how are you going to elect any governor or anybody in your state? Where are you located?
Alabama.
Y'all gonna have any state public officers of the state of Alabama?
Well, if state of Alabama is in all capital letters, we do have corporate officers.
Well, all you have is you have entities that are sitting under the control of the United States, like a municipality. And they go on further in this thing to say down here, which is, I got to get down to it here. Where is it here? See, this stuff all makes perfect sense when you understand what's going on. Let me see here. Tent. Let's see here. The 10th Amendment, which is Section 4. Okay, Section 4. They saw here, when I get down to this, do you know that it says right here, they're talking about these people were challenging it. ACORN, you ever heard of ACORN? The Association for Community as Organization by Reform, now by Mr. Obama and his community of service baloney. This is the case that it says, the Constitution, no longer the defendants argue that the National Voter Registration Act violates the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution. Not the Constitution of the United States. Got to be very careful. See, these guys are really good. The United States Constitution is using two nouns as an adjective describing a Constitution, not the Constitution. 10th Amendment argument is based on the assertion that power to regulate registration in a matter set forth in national voter registration was not delegated to the United States, thus exceeded Congress's constitutional grant of authority. But the defendants, here's the killer, the defendants pointed to no case which either directly or by analogy supported their position. Is that what it takes to get something done? Here's the killer. The court emphasized that the National Voter Registration Act does not establish who is entitled to vote. There's your killer. There's your constitutional side. Who is entitled, but rather establish a method. An otherwise qualified voter must follow to exercise the right to vote. So what does that just mean? The only people entitled to vote are the people that are citizens of the several states. That's the right of your elective franchise and the right of suffrage. The Supreme Court has said a citizen of the United States has no right of suffrage, no right of the elective franchise. What that means is the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, and I got it in the Congressional Record, I got it in a research chart, it says those are prohibitive amendments. They're not organic. All it means is when you show up at the building to vote, they can't sit at the door and say, hey, you're black, you're blue, you're green, you got the wrong religion. They can't say you cannot enter this building. That's all it means. When you get inside, the elective, the right, the entitled to vote is the elective franchise and the suffrage. That is only for a citizen of one of the several states. They've said that. How many people are going to know how to explain that? But they say it right here. It does not say who's entitled to vote. It just says the other part it says here is otherwise qualified, which means you can't discriminate. Well, who the hell cares? We don't want to discriminate against the blacks and the Asians and the Hispanic and the whites. I don't care what your discrimination is. Anybody that is a citizen of one of the several states should be able to walk in, regardless of race, color, or whatever the hell you want to do it. But who's entitled to do the act inside the building? A citizen of the United States is not entitled to do one damn thing in that building. You understand? I guess Richard fell away. Can you make this up? I couldn't. There are no state elections. And even these are phony. Because you cannot be a citizen of the United States and do one damn thing until it is a prohibitive, subject to the jurisdiction of the United, subject to the jurisdiction. Let me find that one here. Let me find the definition of that. Subject to the jurisdiction. I looked that up too. Defined it. What is subject to mean? Let me find it here. Subject to. The term subject to in quotation marks means liable, subordinate, subservient, inferior, obedient to, semicolon, governed or affected by, semicolon, provided that, semicolon, provided, semicolon, answerable. Well, you got it. So when you say subject to, you have to determine which one of those have application to you to be a citizen of the United States. They don't tell you that, do they? I've got a great bunch of stuff in a brief I did for Richard Rappert. By the way, his is sitting in the Supreme Court of Minnesota. We're seeing what they're going to do. I don't have a clue what they're going to do. But I do know that the answers, the only courts we have left to test all this, to see if they will abide by it, and what I've looked, the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, we tried one for Kirkendall out of Mississippi. They have it blocked. We went from a criminal to the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, and they kicked it back to the Fifth Circuit. But guess what? In the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, they were counsel for the United States. When it back to the Fifth Circuit, it was counsel for the United States of America. Isn't that amazing? How did they do that? They're chameleons. And I forced it out of them in the Fifth Circuit to show us what status they were signing up for, because they didn't want to put this out. I got it black and white. Same case, and I have 110 documented cases of 100. The United States of America is a sovereign body politic. How in the holy hell did the entity United States of America be a sovereign body politic? You think that goes along with the 10th Amendment? The rights not granted herein are reserved to the states or to the people? Well, if there's no several states in the putting senators of the United States, and there's no citizens of the several states, the 10th Amendment is irrelevant. That's the same thing why they say in this thing that the 10th Amendment has no bearing on the National Voter Registration Act. Why? You got to know why. You can't just state this stuff. You got to have evidence. Because the citizen of the United States has nothing to do with the 10th Amendment. 10th Amendment is limited strictly, it says so, to the we the people part or the state, several states. The 14th and the 15th and the 13th ain't got one damn thing to do with the we the people as the citizens of the several states or the legislatures of the several states. It's a new fictional entity called citizen of the United States. And we're right back to Esau. He gave up his citizenship, or his birthright. Our birthright is our citizenship. And we in America cannot relinquish it without expatriation. This is the way they get away with bringing all these Mexican babies over. They're all citizens of the United States. They're not naturalized. If you're naturalized, you're a citizen of the United States of America. And I got the documents brought out of the Department of Justice. A copy of what they hand you when you're naturalized. This is how they get away with dual citizenship. I can be a citizen of the United States and a citizen of Israel. What's the problem? It's the same thing as being a CEO on some corporate board and being a citizen of Israel. There's not a problem with that. You cannot be a citizen of the United States of America, or you cannot be a citizen of one of the several states and be a citizen of Israel or a citizen of France, because you have to say, I have no allegiance to any foreign entities of any type. This is how they do this. It's all in the words. And until we, the people, wise up, under like Jose, die for a lack of knowledge, to read very, very, very carefully, believe nothing anybody tells you, including me. See the documents. Make up your own mind. You can use your critical thinking. They print this stuff. They really like to print it in congressional record, and they really love it in legislative history. That's what I got access to in Westlaw. It takes a while to go through the legislative history to see where they talk about this stuff, but they do admit to what they're doing, usually. And that stands. That explains their act of what they're doing. Our republic no longer exists as it was founded. Because we, the people, no longer realize who we are. Back in a minute.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat, very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Okay, well, we're back. And before I proceed forward with the rest of it, you know, I fully expect to see Cheryl in the next life, and I fully expect to see Tom and Pretoria, my two cats. I don't know if cats are supposed to be there, but I think that they will. Anyway, Corden versus Reno, 913F sup SUPP 946. That's 913F sup SUF period SUPP period 946, 1995. They give some very interesting information on this. If you learn how to read it, it's absolutely amazing what these guys print. Now they do it. Rejecting the state of South Carolina's assertion that the National Voter Registration Act and they cite 42 U.S.C. 1973 GG, well, that's something else now, violates the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution. Again, it's not the Constitution of the United States. It was held in the Corden case. The 10th Amendment provided no protection for South Carolina because the powers granted to Congress under the provisions of the 14th and 15th Amendments, 14th and 15th Amendments of the United States Constitution. Since the Constitution specifically delegates to Congress the power to regulate federal elections and the NVRA is limited to federal election, the court reasoned the 10th Amendment is inapplicable by its own terms. Therein is a killer. Likewise, the court continued, Congress's power under the 14th are not limited by the 10th Amendment. Really? Did you realize that the 10th Amendment doesn't have any bearing anymore? Not if you're a citizen of the United States. That is a true statement. If you're a citizen of the several states, or if you have a legislature of the several states that are electing senators of the United States, then the 10th Amendment stands. 13th, 14th, and 15th are for citizens of the United States. They are not organic amendments. Look at the last part of it. It also says Article 1, or articles. They're not amendments, they're articles. And they're to prohibit state action. They are not organic. Only 1 through 12 are. It's unbelievable. Everybody, oh, I'm a 14th Amendment citizen, I'm all stuck and I can't get out. No, you have to put into the public record you're a citizen of Texas, into the public record. And if anybody says you're a citizen of the United States, tell them to go to hell, go to 18 U.S.C. 911. That is a federal penalty or a crime. I must claim to be a citizen of the United States and can't prove it, and you can't. I freaking damn guarantee you if you know what you're doing. All juries are always citizens of the United States. That has to be on the record. Somewhere. Federal, they put it in open court. Alaska, they put it in open court. That's why I got a whole bunch of misdemeanors. I said, well, you just swore you were a citizen of the United States. What is it? I think we got a problem. Oh, wait a minute. Let's dismiss and have a recess. Yep. Hard to believe, isn't it? We, these churches, are all for citizens of the United States. Because they love them. They give $100 and then they write it off. In the Bible, the woman that gave, I think it was 2 denarii, gave everything she had. She gave more. These churches have basically all been overthrown. Haggai and all that. God, what a bunch of blasphemy stuff out of Texas. That guy and the other one. These churches, they love the illegals. Why? Because they get $2,000 a head. Lutherans and the Catholics and all these other ones are in it for the money. Because the churches are declining, so we've got to find a new revenue stream. So we bring in pagan gods, Islam and Sharia law. Or we bring in illegals from the lower 48 to have anarchy, so they'll vote Democratic. Anyway, I hope you learned something, and God willing, we will see you next Sunday. Watch out for the federales. They are everywhere.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.